Okay, everybody please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. A lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. His word will hide my heart, that I might not sin against God. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag, to the Savior whose kingdom stands. One Savior, crucified, risen and come again, with life under me to all who believe. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
And I can say tonight today, amen. All right, prayer list. Caleb Morgan, Dean, Teresa Smith, Dale, Denise and Carol Love, Donnie Chapman, Andrew Morgan, Kenny Brown, Jordan Schrantz, Mattis Keegan, Children's Home in India, Betty Winstead, Christy Morgan, Debbie, Maddie, Dorothy, Joanna, Bella Shannon, Taggett Family, Rusty Hale, Kimberly, Jeff Hall, Alan Duggan, Dallas Keegan, Saul, Carol Lyman, Brenda Nation, Sue Carswell, Alex Mace, Billy and Karen Fry, Jacob Banner, Susan and Willie Reinhardt, Lynn Reed, Darius Moser, Juan, Bailey, Smith, Shelby Family, Leslie Fornell, Patsy Penny, Geraldine Chapman, Craig Stillwell, Mike, Elaine, Missy Morgan, Allie, Trey Clark, Rosa Phillips, Maddie, Amy Claw, Lisa Buff, Edward Kirkland, Jesse Sigmund, Kim Sigmund, Miss Brown, Preacher Danny Black, Cindy and Rachel Hale, Pete, Miss Russell, Kenny Jones, Miss Evans, Barbara, Shelly Carpenter, Bill McKinley, Randy Loman, Sherry's dad, sister, and son, Barry Brown, Scotty, Karen McDaniel, Jeff, Richard Mackey, Morgan and family, Hank Kirkland, Dorothy Buff, Jeremy Johnson family, Frank and Luann family, Amber Smith, Kayla, Anna, Addie, Megan Watson, Janice Hendricks, Kelly Pruitt, Emily, Brian Clark, Bill Gisby, Devin Potheat, Judith, Rosa Buff, Morgan Little, Ray Wackery, Lucy Chapman, Ernie Buff, Jamie and family, Nick's family, Keith Phillips, James Schrantz, Stormy Mace, Carly Mace, Hannah Hensley, and Jimmy and Jill Young. Has anybody got anything that needs to be took at our lady or added to?
In the beginning, do they need to mention somebody, Dean?
That's going to be Dean and Dale.
Oh, okay.
That's the Dean.
I guess I figured I would go right here. I pray for somebody named Dean there.
Yeah. It's actually like,
innocent.
Your aunt, grandpa's sister, just that passed away not long ago. I think that's her son's, ain't it?
What did you say?
Pete and Eve. Their sons.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah. I think that's their sons.
Yeah.
All right. I had to think of it. I couldn't remember. I knew it was family, but I couldn't remember which family. All right. Does anybody have anything on your heart?
I just want to thank the Lord for saving me.
Amen.
Me too. I want to say, Lord, for saving me. Thanking Him for bringing me back to His house tonight. Thanking Him for loving us and for blessing us every day. And especially myself, I want to thank the Lord because I can't walk. Thanking Him, you know me. I have a stick, I have a walker, all these kind of things. And all my knees and my legs is so good.
Amen.
Thank you, Him, for that.
Amen. Yeah. CJ needs to see your doctor. Ray Walker.
Oh, they tell me of the uncloudy day. In the city that is made of gold.
Yeah.
never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He's the light, in his no darkness, every hour walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, praising my way to mansion above. Singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is
we see.
that Spirit of God, when we all get to heaven, what day of rejoicing that will be, when we all see Jesus and sing the cherub victory.
Amen.
265. Was thinking this then thing, small from the beautiful charm, barely deep to stand within, to raise no more. By the master of the sea, hear my spirit cry, from the water lifting up, now say, I am. Lord, lifting me, Lord, lifting me, when nothing also help, Lord, lifting.
Okay.
morning we looked at the parable that Jesus gave the Pharisees and Sadducees as they murmured. One about the fellow that had the 100 sheep and lost one. When he found him, he rejoiced. He had his friends to rejoice with him. Likewise, the woman who lost a piece of silver. She swept the house until she found it. And when she found it, she was rejoicing because she found that which was lost. And, you know, she called her friends and neighbors together, and they all rejoiced because she had found it. As we got into verse 11, we started reading about the man that had two sons. One wanted to leave and one wanted to stay. One stayed, the other left. And the one that left fell into hard times. And he found that he would be better off being a servant in his father's house than be where he was at. And when the father had seen him far away, naturally he ran to him, kissed him, you know, gave him the robe, the shoes, the ring, killed the fatted calf, and our dirty word, being married and rejoicing. And in 24 we find here, it says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found," and they began to be married. Going into 25. Now, the elder son, which was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called for one of the servants and asked what these things mean. And he said unto him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father have killed the fatted calf, because he had received him safe and sound." Now, you think this would be a time for his brother to be rejoicing as well. Now, he'd come home from being out in the field working, taking care of dad's needs, and come home, hear all this music and stuff, and ask the servant. The servant's playing to him, "Your brother's home." But then when you get into verse 27, and he said unto him, verse 28, "And he was angry." Now, you'd think he'd be happy. "And we would not go in, therefore came out his father and entreated him." Now, father noticed he didn't come in. "And he answered and said unto his father, Lo, many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet, though thou never hast given me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends." Now that kid is not a kid. That is a small animal, baby animal, like a calf or a goat or, you know, they're called, you know, a goat's called. Maybe the goat's called a kid.
Yeah.
All right. "But as soon as thy son, which came, which devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatty calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meant that we should make merry and be glad, for thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost in his family." Now, this brother got angry. Jealousy. He was jealous because, you know, here his brother had took off, left the family, left him with all the responsibility. You know, he was supposed to keep up the farm and keep up with the servants and keep up with his dad and help take care of the needs of dad. And, you know, brother just took off and just wasted everything that his dad had given him. it upset me. And, you know, it is something to be upset about. But two, you know, Dad was looking. Now, I don't know much about Jewish beliefs or their traditions. But if a son leaves like that, that son is considered dead. Dead to that family. And that's what it meant, that your, you know, your brother was dead and is now alive because it's come back. Brother was afraid that, you know, brother was going to come. The elder brother was afraid that the baby brother was going to come back and step right back into the place that he was in. That whenever all this was done and over with, and Dad, then he was going to have to give him half of everything again. That wasn't what the Father had intended. Some of you have ever been with me. You ain't going to lose nothing. It's all yours. Now, folks, that is tradition with the Jews. This young man walked away from the Father. Wasted everything that the Father gave him. But sometimes we Christians, not us, but some Christians, they'll get mad and they'll walk away from God. I know of people who have lost their spouse and they're mad at God because God took their husband or wife away from them. And they just sit down and they, you know, they just won't work for God anymore. But I'm going to tell you something. If them people once was ever saved, true, they're still saved.
Yes.
They're not putting as many rewards up as they did before. Because they're not working to make rewards. If God can save me and keep me safe, He can keep me. He does. He does keep me.
Yes.
I think that those treasures that I have laid up, I think they're still there. Even if I turn away from God. I'm not going to add to the treasure.
No.
But I just don't think that God will take away. I mean, that's just my personal belief, and I'm going to tell you that's my personal belief. You're not going to add to it. But God loves us.
Amen.
And I believe once He gives us something, I think He's true to His word.
Amen.
Now, I might be wrong with what I'm thinking. I might get all kinds of people saying, "Preacher, you don't know what you're talking about." Sometimes I don't know what I'm talking about, but I do believe with all my heart that my God loves me. Mm-hmm. And once He gives me something, He's just not going to take it away. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I mean, y'all know this time last year, I was really worried about Christy. I was afraid that she was going to be without me, that she was going to go on. I was afraid of that. But I wouldn't have lost her.
Nope.
It says death do we part. I think, you know, she might leave or I might leave. I mean, it could be me leaving. I mean, a year from now, she could be worried about me. Yep. Next week, she could probably be worried about me. Brother, I'm going to be around.
Yep.
But I leave that part and ain't permanent.
Amen.
I think when we get there, we're going to be together again. Now, I don't know if it'll be like this, but it might, like it is here. You know, I'm not going to say that. But I know. I mean, the Bible says that we'll be known as we was known.
Yep. Amen.
But I'm going to be there again with her. We're not going to be apart forever.
Amen.
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 So, you know, you got one young man who is trying his best to fix a mistake that he made. And you got another one who is somewhat jealous because he's afraid of what he's going to lose what he worked for from his father. The father didn't take anything away from this man. Matter of fact, he told him, he said, all that I have is yours. It's yours.
Yep.
So he didn't take anything away from him. Mm-hmm. The other son had done wasted what he had. It's gone. And he can't never get that back.
Nope.
Because he wasted it. Not because the father took it away from him. It's because he took and wasted it. I have a father in heaven who loves me.
Amen.
He knows I'm not perfect. He knows, church, that I'm going to make mistakes. He's not going to punish me because I make a mistake. He's going to help me.
Amen.
When I make mistakes, church, God ain't sitting there with a stick beating me on the head telling me that I'm doing wrong. He's jerking at my heart and my soul. He's like, son, you need to back up and look. That's what that Holy Spirit that lives in us does. It says, wait a minute, stop and just look at just what happened. And the Lord will give you the opportunity to correct that mistake. To ask someone to forgive you for something that you might have done to hurt them. Or, you know, maybe, you know, some way correct what you've done. In some way. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God knows we're not perfect. You know, I just about believe that father, when he gave that stuff to his son, he knew what was going to happen. He knew what he was going to do. And I believe that's the reason why he was watching for that road. I can imagine that old man sitting out on the front porch, looking down that dusty dirt road, away for a dust storm to know that his son was on his way back. Amen?
Amen.
And you know something tonight, church? I believe with all my heart, all these Christians that have walked away from God, I think God is giving them time to come back.
Amen.
To say, Father, forgive me. Of course, it's already forgiven, but you know what I mean. To fix what they had made wrong. To get back in the house of God and start working to build the church and to glorify God. He's waiting on me. I bet if I ask in here, each and every one of y'all could probably tell me of somebody that you have crossed in your life that is sitting right now at home, mad and indifferent with God because of something that happened. Whether it be a loss of a loved one, whether it be something that happened in the church, and they're just like, well, if this is what's going on in the church, then I don't need this. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I've done that.
Yes.
I'm going to be honest with you. That was something that happened in church one time. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was right. It was wrong. But what was done, it was totally wrong. But I walked away from the house of God and said, I will not be a part of that. And I didn't go for the longest time. That woman right there loaded up the only car we had. Our kids had took them to another church. And I sat at the house and watched them drive off because I got mad about a wrong. Instead of trying to stay there and fix the wrong, Pray about the wrong. I did absolutely nothing. Nothing. But get mad at God because it happened. Well, I really wasn't mad at God. I was mad at the church. Well, you know how it is when you're mad at somebody's young. When you're mad at somebody's young, then you're mad at me. Amen?
Yeah.
But you know, I learned from my experience. Eventually, you know, she'd come home, and I know I've told this story before. She'd come home and tell me what the preacher preached, what they done in Sunday school. And finally, you know, one Sunday I got up and went with him. And I realized that the biggest person that was in that church that day that was wrong was me. Not the brother that done the offensive, the one that took the offensive, but me, because I did not stand up and fight. I did not stand up and say, this is wrong. So, you know, I know what it's like to walk away from a church and know sort of how to be mad, what it's like to be mad at God. But, you know, God blessed me. And He turned that situation around. And actually, one of the folks that was in on that preached in this very church. And he done a fine job. He done a great job. He preached a youth revival. And he done a wonderful job. God used him. And the other brother as well. And God still used him. He's using me. But there's people out there that just will not give in.
Yes.
They're mad. And we need to be praying for them.
Right.
God wants their eyes open. He wants them to come and you know, and rejoin the church and get things right. He wants that.
Okay.
But they just can't see. Get it in their heart to forgive. Forgiveness. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Forgiveness is one of the hardest things we can do. It is. It is one of the hardest things we can do. I mean, I had a hard time forgiving that man for what he done. I'd see him on the side of the road somewhere, you know, the man was up in or he sold stuff on the side of the road. And I just about drive all the way around the county to avoid going by him. But I'm going to tell you something, I appreciate that man and I love him. Because God helped me to be able to forgive. Forgiveness, you know, this brother, I think in his heart, when he got down there and his dad explained to him in that last verse, I think, I hope, I pray that that man forgave his brother. Forgiveness, church, forgiveness. And, you know, it's like I've told you before, church, I can only tell you what goes on in my life. I can't in yours. Or, actually, I'm going to be honest with you. I think this is more for me than it was for you, though. Because forgiveness is what I need. The love that you feel in your heart when you can say, I truly forgive. That I'm not going to hold it against them. Neither one of them brothers do I hold it against them. Neither one of them. Or that church. But it's only because God gave you that grace. So we cannot do that. It's only by the love and the mercy and the grace of God that I was able.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what? I feel today it makes me a better Christian because I was able. All those months that I sit down that front porch and watch that little Rex Reno leave out with my gun with my wife in it to go to church. And I just sit there. Look at all the blessings that I miss by not going to church. All the blessings that I miss. Blessings that I can't never go back and get. Because they're done and over with. Them services has done been had. That message has done been preached. Them songs have done been sung.
Amen.
I miss them. Because I hardened my heart. I let God soften that heart.
Amen.
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 That's all I got for tonight. I pray that this has been a help to you. It has to me. And, you know, like I said, folks, if we can't love one another, how in the world are we going to go out there in that world and love them folks? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Anybody got anything on your heart?
I thank God for because in our church we love you too.
Amen.
Same here.
Amen.
And the Lord bless and has some love into us.
What we need is love. That's what the world out there needs is love.
Amen.
It needs to know what true love really is. Most of them think they're in love, but in reality they're just in lust. In lust of one another, in lust of things, in lust of money. A lot of them can't even love them on sales. Amen?
Amen.
Anyone else? Okay, yeah. Brother Jesus.